Well, do you believe that this morning? Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. We heard testimonies today, this morning, testifying God's change in your life. Freedom from sin, freedom from the bondage and the power of sin. And I'm sure if we opened it up for more testimonies, we could have many different stories, but all of them based around the fact that Jesus Christ delivers from sin. I praise God for that. I praise the Lord for that. Not serving a God that can't break the fetters and break the chains. We are serving a God that can completely break us free. He breaks the power of canceled sin. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a privilege to be here again today. Thank you, Brother Ziegler, for the kind words. As he was saying those kind words, I was reminded of the story of a man that had passed away, and the family was sitting on the front seat of the funeral, and the pastor got up to speak and was saying such flowery words about the man. The mother sitting on the front seat leaned over to her son and said, "Run up there and see if that's your dad." So I'm not sure it's me, but anyway, thank you for the kind words, and it's a privilege to be here. Going to be looking this morning, again in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles. This morning, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. And we'll not be reading much scripture from there, but we'll be alluding to several verses as we go along, go through the message. If you were to search the name Charles Templeton on Wikipedia, which most of you would know, that is the online encyclopedia, following the dates of Charles Templeton's birth and death, there would be listed several one-word descriptions of Mr. Templeton. Several of those descriptions are cartoonist, politician, editor, inventor, and author. However, as I read the list given, two other descriptions quickly caught my attention. They caught my attention because they were so opposite and even contradictory. The first one that caught my attention was evangelist. The second one was agnostic. It doesn't take too many brains to quickly conclude that these two terms describing Templeton are poles apart. And yet, unfortunately, they correctly represent two different eras in his life. Perhaps you've heard of Charles Templeton. He was converted to Christianity in 1936. He became an evangelist. He founded a church in Toronto, Canada. He co-founded Youth for Christ International in 1946. He frequently traveled with Billy Graham. He attended Princeton Theological Seminary. However, with a tragic ending in 1957, after a long struggle with doubt, Templeton proclaimed himself to be an agnostic and left the Christian faith. What happened? I don't know all the details of his journey that ended him in agnosticism, but one thing is sure, Charles Templeton walked away from his faith. And this morning I stand before you with the reality that too many people in our world are leaving their faith and are walking away from their God. For a little while this morning, I want to look at perhaps an unfamiliar Old Testament story of a man who also walked away from his faith. We find this story in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. At this point in the history of God's chosen people, several generations have passed since the kingdom of Israel and Judah have been divided. As we look in on the kingdom of Judah today in our passage, we find the installation service for King Joash taking place. But prior to this fanfare of this new king's installation service, much has transpired. Quickly notice how Joash becomes king. Joash's father, Ahaziah, has begun reigning in Judah. And during Ahaziah's reign, he is assassinated. Once he is killed, his mother, Athaliah, who happens to be the wicked mother of Ahab and Jezebel, decides she wants to be queen. And so she quickly kills all of the royal heirs to the throne. However, during this killing spree, the sister to King Ahaziah, who has just been killed, and the daughter of the want-to-be-queen Athaliah, Jehoshabeath, if I said that right by name, steals away one of the king's sons, and the boy's name is Joash. At the time of this royal slaughter, Joash is only about a year old, and no doubt he doesn't remember any of what has transpired. And Joash is placed in hiding for 6 years. No doubt during these formative years of his life, he has told the story over and over again of the royal slaughter and how someone rescued him and put him in hiding. Around the age of 7, Jehoiada the priest felt it was time to bring Joash out of hiding and make him king, since he was the rightful heir to the throne. Athaliah, who has reigned as queen for those 6 years, is not for the idea, but she is quickly silenced by death. And this brings us to our scripture lesson in chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles. At the beginning of this chapter, Joash is 7 years of age as crowned king. Do we have any young boys here today 7 years of age? Anybody that's 7 years of age? All right. Is it Desden? Desmond. 7 years of age. Can you imagine being king 7 years of age? His parents probably can't imagine him being king. He's 7 years old, and he's crowned king. If you look at verse 2, the writer gives us the commentary that this young boy child, King Joash, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4 even tells us that King Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. In other words, he had a will, he had the desire to fix the house of the Lord. Apparently, as verse 7 indicates, his wicked mother had destroyed and violated the house of the Lord. In verses 5 to 14, the writer describes in detail the process that made the restoration project possible. In order to fund the renovation project, they built a chest in which the people of Judah would bring their money, which would in turn pay those who were repairing the house of the Lord. Joash, as we can tell, was doing his best to walk with God and do what was right in his eyes. As you continue reading this chapter, things begin to change. Things begin to change in Joash's life around verse 15. Our scripture lesson tells us that following this great repairing of the house of the Lord, following this great desire to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord, the priest Jehoiada dies. This is an unfortunate incident in Joash's life. Jehoiada played an important, influential, crucial role in the life of Joash. Jehoiada was Joash's spiritual mentor. And upon Jehoiada's death, Joash suddenly finds himself without the godly influence that has been present all of his life. Look again at verse 2. One thing I left out earlier in verse 2 was the last phrase. The verse says, Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Consequently, following Jehoiada's death, Scripture clearly indicates, as you read through this passage, read through the rest of this chapter, it clearly indicates that Joash walked away from his faith in God. Why did Joash leave the faith that he had once clung to? Why did Joash choose to forsake the path that he had once traveled? Why does he turn his back on God? Sobering questions, aren't they? As I began preparing this truth, my mind went to several individuals that I have watched in my short life walk away from their faith. My heart aches, my heart breaks when I see this happen. It's so tragic, it's so devastating to see someone who has loved God, who has served God, who has desired to be all that He wants them to be, come to a crossroads in their spiritual life and willingly and knowingly choose to turn their back on God. Why would anyone choose to forsake the God that they had once served? And this morning, while there never could be an exhaustive list published as to why people walk away from their faith, walk away from God, for a few moments, let's look into this passage before us and let's see what we can discover in Joash's life. In this passage, first of all, notice the reasons for walking away from the faith. As we study this passage, our scripture does not give us concrete details concerning Joash's choice to walk away from God, but perhaps we can briefly suggest a few possibilities. I believe one of the apparent reasons Scripture indicates that Joash walked away from his faith is because there was a loss of a godly influence in his life. As I referenced earlier, verse 2 tells us Joash did what was right in God's sight all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Then verse 17 seems to infer that following Jehoiada's death, Joash began listening to those around him who were evil. In Joash's life, the priest Jehoiada was the spiritual compass for the affairs of the kingdom. He was to Judah and Joash as perhaps Billy Graham was to America and the U.S. president in modern times. Jehoiada was the spiritual leader for the king and the kingdom. But when Jehoiada dies, the spiritual voice was silenced and the spiritual compass was lost. This no doubt played a part in Joash's choice to walk away from God. This morning, I wish I could tell you this was the only time that this type of circumstances occurred. But unfortunately, this is not the only story that ends this way. You and I here this morning would probably be shocked at the amount of individuals who walk away from God following the death of a spiritual influence in their life. This loss of spiritual influence can happen in a couple different ways, as it was in Joash's day. The loss of spiritual influence came as a result of a physical death. This happens in today's generation. We see it happen as the godly father, the godly mother, or the godly individual in whom many people have great respect pass away. And as life moves on for those left behind, as they face life without the spiritual influence guiding and directing them, they begin to walk away from God. How devastating it is to see this happen. However, the loss of a spiritual influence happens not only with a physical death, but oftentimes it comes with the spiritual death of an individual. These type of casualties happen all too many times when an individual who has had a personal relationship with God chooses to walk away from God. There is the death of a spiritual influence. And this is of great detriment to those who are looking on and watching their lives. I've watched this unfortunate reality play out in my life. As I was growing up, I attended a Christian day school for my education. I'm a firm believer in Christian education. I want to thank my parents for their conviction that led them to provide this for me. But this little ACE school where I attended was in the basement of a church in central Indiana. The pastor of that church also served as the school administrator. He was a kind and gentle man in his 40s with a family of 7 children. I remember this man preaching in our school's chapel service. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me," he would preach. But somewhere down the line, he lost his way. And he walked away from his God. And he walked away from his faith. The end result of that family is absolutely tragic. He has been in and out of jail. His wife lost out spiritually. And I'm not sure if any one of his 7 children are serving the Lord today. As I reflect on this man's life, I can't help but wonder how differently his family would have turned out if the spiritual influence had not disappeared in their lives. I don't want to get bogged down here on this point, but let me make the quick application. We better fix our eyes on Jesus, friend. Our role models may pass on, others may give up, but we must never allow our faith to be destroyed because they chose to walk away from God. Joash, in our passage, lost his spiritual influence that made sure he was doing right, and he walked away from God. I believe the passage, to me, also indicates a second reason as to why Joash walked away from his faith. Not only notice the loss of a godly influence, but notice the listening to ungodly influences. Verse 17 tells us that once the godly priest Jehoiada is dead, the princes of Judah came and made obeisance to King Joash. These princes who now showed up after Jehoiada is gone, after the spiritual influence, the spiritual compass is gone, these princes show up to fill the vacant position of the priest, and they were not followers of God. These men were no doubt the individuals who scoffed at priest Jehoiada's counsel and instruction. They were also the ones who no doubt scorned Jehoiada's conviction. And now since the priest is gone, it states that Joash hearkened unto them. Several commentaries that I read after gave some great insight to this verse. One of them said, "But now that the helm of the state ship was no longer steered by the sound head and firm hand of the venerable high priest, the real merits of Joash's administration appeared. And for want of good and enlightened principle, as well as perhaps of natural energy of character, He allowed himself, I want you to catch this, he allowed himself to be borne onward in a course which soon wrecked the vessel on hidden rocks. Joash listened to the wrong voices in his life and he walked away from his faith. Friend, it's always tragic when an individual chooses to plug their ears to God's voice and open their ears to the voices of the world and the culture around them. And unfortunately, it happens all too frequently in our society. Many are the individuals who have once walked with God, who began to listen to the voice of Satan and other influences, evil influences in their life, and consequently they walked away from their faith. Joash allowed the ungodly influences around him to dictate the direction that he would travel. But there's yet another reason I would mention as to why Joash walked away from God. It is not inferred in Scripture, but I believe it could definitely be applied. Not only the loss of a godly influence, not only the listening to ungodly influences, but the lack of spiritually settled issues in his life. Perhaps in Joash's life, the spiritual stand he took for years was directly related to the spiritual influence that was around him. But once that influence was gone, maybe he began to question the issues that he once stood for. Could it be that once the spiritual compass was gone from his life, he began to wonder if the way he had been living was really all that important? And although we may never know the answer to these questions, we do know that ultimately Joash lost his way and walked away from God. And friend, this morning there is no doubt in my mind that the fact of unsettled issues results in many individuals walking away from their faith. I'm convinced that the unsettled spiritual issues is the root cause for spiritual stagnation and spiritual death. Let me ask you this question. How would you live if you knew no one saw you? Often we talk about this in the realm of character, but I want to speak of it in addition to character in light of your relationship with God. Friend, I must tell you, the issues better be settled in your heart, or when the trials come, when the temptations come, when the pains come, when the unfair circumstances come into your life, you'll drop your faith and walk away from God if the issues are not settled. Let me stay here a moment longer. I feel I must offer some warnings. Perhaps I'm speaking this morning to some young people who are living a two-faced life. The reason why you act and dress and live the way you do is because you know you would get into trouble if you did it any other way. But you know in your heart, if you had it your way, you would trade places with some other young person so you could be who you wanted to be without restrictions. I must warn you young people, you better get the issue settled in your life. You better get the issue settled or you end up walking away from God down the road and going further than you ever imagined you would go. Perhaps this morning I'm speaking to some young adults who are teetering on the edge of questionable issues. Your grandparents and your parents or some other godly influence have modeled the godly life of careful living in front of you. But as you start your own home, you begin asking questions, why can't we, or what's wrong with, or how come they can? This morning I must wave the red flag of warning in front of you and tell you, you better get the spiritual issue settled. For time and eternity, or you'll find yourself years down the road wondering where in the world, how in the world you ended from here, started here, and ended here. No doubt I'm speaking to some older adults who outwardly appear to have all the spiritual issues settled in your life. But inside your heart, you're struggling with spiritual issues, issues that the devil keeps telling you everyone else is doing it, and times have changed. It's not as important as it used to be. I must warn you, too, that you better get the issue settled, or under the guise of receiving new light, you will walk away from God and ultimately from your faith. But let's move on. It appears that Joash in our scripture lesson, first of all, lost his spiritual mentor. That he began to listen to the ungodly influences that quickly assumed the vacant position. And then as the spiritual issues weren't settled in his heart, King Joash began on a journey. He began on a downward journey that led Joash away from his God, and a journey that would ultimately never, ever return him to a relationship with God. And whatever the reasons, whether the reasons I mentioned are completely accurate or not, Scripture does very clearly indicate he walked away from God. For Joash to walk away from God was foolish and tragic and ultimately damning in his life. But I not only want to notice the reasons for walking away from the faith, but the passage before us this morning in 2 Chronicles 24 gives us the results of walking away from the faith. As you read the rest of 24, chapter 24, verses 18 to 25, give a very, very sad commentary on the remainder of Joash's life. Verse 18, I notice the first result of Joash walking away from God. Notice there was a forsaking of God's presence. Notice what the first part of this verse says, and they left the house of the Lord God of their father. John Wesley wrote concerning this verse, "The king and the princes that while ago so zealously repaired the temple now forsook it. As a young man, he used his authority to repair that temple, and now he is walking away from the very thing that he repaired." The Hebrew word here for left can be translated forsake. It's the same word the Lord uses in his promise to Joshua when he says in Joshua 1:5, "As the children of Israel were preparing to enter the Canaan land, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life," the Lord says. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." God was promising Joshua that during the conquering for the promised land, he was not going to quit. He was not going to leave Joshua to fight alone, but he was promising that his presence would be with him. And as God promised he would not leave or forsake Moses, Joash chose to leave. He chose to forsake the house of God. The Old Testament temple housed the presence of God. It was the place consecrated for worship. It was the place where God dwelled. And essentially, when Joash left the house of God, he was forsaking the presence of God in his life. Scripture records many examples of those who walked away from God and consequently forsook the presence of God. We don't have time this morning to tell the stories of Saul and Samson, but these are two prime examples of individuals who lost the presence of God in their lives. When someone chooses to walk away from God, he or she consequently chooses to forsake the presence of God. If I choose to walk away from an individual with whom I was engaged in a conversation with, I also consequently choose to walk away from their presence. So it is also a result for us if we choose to walk away from God. If we choose to turn our back on God, we consequently choose to walk away. We choose to forsake the presence of God in our hearts. Oh, the tragedy of living life without the presence of God. But consider a second result that transpired when Joash walked away from God. Notice there was a following after false gods. After Joash chose to forsake God, after he refused to worship God in the temple, Scripture says he served groves and idols. The Hebrew word for groves is actually better translated Asherah. This was the name of the sensual Canaanitish goddess Astarte, the feminine of the Assyrian Ishtar. Its symbol was the stem of a tree deprived of its boughs and rudely shaped into an image and planted in the ground. And this was clearly a direct violation of God's law. God, when giving the law to Moses, said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Joash chose to follow after the false gods. I mentioned it the other night. I don't need to inform you our world is full of idols. Many in our world are bowing down to the idols of entertainment, pleasure, money, position, popularity, sports. Jesus addresses the issue of idolatry when he says, "No man can serve two masters." And friend, if you have walked away from God, you have begun to worship something else. Just as Joash walked away from God and immediately began serving other gods, so will you. Because when you choose to walk away from God, you automatically begin serving someone else. A third result from walking away from God that Joash encountered was a facing of God's wrath. Verse 18 concludes by saying, "Wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. By walking away from God, Joash understood and experienced the wrath of God. Today, words cannot adequately explain the wrath of God that is reserved for those who choose to walk away from Him. Scripture plainly teaches that there is a wrath of God. Paul told the believers in Ephesus, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." The wrath of God is coming for those who walk away from God. In our world, the love of God is trumpeted from pen and pulpit, and rightly so. I'm not diminishing that at all. But while the justice of God is seldom heard, it is just as real, it is just as much a reality as is the love of God. I recently read of a young woman who had been brought up in a Christian home and who had often had very serious convictions in regard to the importance of coming to Christ. She chose instead to take the way of the world. Much against the wishes of her godly mother, she insisted on keeping company with a wild, hilarious crowd who lived only for the passing moment and tried to forget the things of eternity. Over and over again, she was pleaded with to turn to Christ, but she persistently refused to heed the admonitions addressed to her. Finally, this young lady was taken with a very serious illness. All that medical science could do for her was done in order to bring about her recovery. But it soon became evident that the case was hopeless and death was staring this young lady in the face. Still, she was hard when urged to turn to God in repentance and take the lost sinner's place and trust the lost sinner's Savior. One night, she woke suddenly out of a sound sleep, a frightened look in her eyes, and asked excitedly, "Mother, what is Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9 say?" Her mother said, "What do you mean, my dear?" She replied, she had been in a most vivid dream. She thought that there was a presence in the room who very solemnly said to her, "Read Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9. Not recalling the verses in question, the mother reached for her Bible. As the mother opened it, her heart sank as she saw the words. But she read them aloud to the dying girl. Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9 says, "Now I will shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee, and I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth." The poor sufferer, with a look of horror on her face, sank back on the pillow, utterly exhausted, and in a few moments, she was in eternity, lost, facing the wrath of God. Once more, it had been demonstrated that when grace is rejected, it brings judgment at last. Just as sure this morning as you're here, just as sure as God loves you, in the same way, the wrath of God will be displayed for those who walk away from Him. Today, we don't hear many messages on hell, but it doesn't change the fact that it is a real place and it's reserved for those who walk away from their faith and deny Christ. Joash walked away from God and he faced the judgment of God. Fourth result was a failure to listen to God's voice. Even while Joash was facing the wrath of God, God sent prophets along. Verse 19 tells us to bring them again unto the Lord. This is good news on this Sunday morning. Perhaps you are here. Perhaps you are walking away from God. Perhaps you are walking away from your faith. But I want you to know this morning we have a long-suffering God that is still calling out to you this morning. This is a beautiful picture of the faithfulness of God. When punishment was deserved, He was still calling out. He was still speaking to Joash. Joash had chose to walk away from God. But in the midst of that, God sent him a prophet, showing his faithfulness, calling out to him. Let me quickly mention two other examples of neglecting God's voice. A prime example of this is seen a few chapters later in 2 Chronicles chapter 33 during the reign of Manasseh. Manasseh was Joash's great, 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 great grandson. Scripture tells us he was a king who did evil in the sight of God. And in verse 10 of chapter 33, it says, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Another translation renders that phrase, but they ignored all his warnings. Here, God was faithfully calling out to Manasseh, a man who was doing evil in the sight of God, but he was faithfully calling out to them, but they shut their ears to his cry. The New Testament, Acts chapter 7, Stephen is called to answer for the accusation of blasphemy. And when asked concerning the accusation, Stephen began to preach. And at the conclusion of his message, he sternly said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Stephen boldly said they were deaf to the voice of God. You know, it's amazing to me that when an individual walks away from God, they choose to refuse to listen to God's voice. But it's also amazing to me that with their backs toward God, God still faithfully calls out to them, calls their name, calling them back from a life of sin. Over and over again, they are the recipients of God's call. Over and over again, they hear the voice of God gently calling them to turn their hearts back to God. But instead of laying down the arms of rebellion, instead of yielding to God and to God's call, they plug their ears and refuse to listen to Him. Many sit in church and hear God calling their names. They're walking away from God, but over their shoulders they hear their name being called, the gentle voice of God calling them to turn back to Him. But just as some kids put their finger in their ears to block out their parents' instructions, they too plug their ears and refuse to heed God's voice. When Joash walked away from God, he refused to listen to God's voice. A fifth and final result that transpired when Joash walked away from God, there was a fighting against God's message. One of the prophets that God sent to speak to Joash and the people of Judah was a man by the name of Zechariah. I find it ironic that God chose Zechariah to give a message to Joash. You see, Zechariah just happened to be the son of Jehoiada, the spiritual influence that was in Joash's life. Jehoiada's son spoke God's word to Joash. Somehow the spiritual man Jehoiada had passed the spiritual heritage on to his son. How valuable that was. But instead of Joash embracing the messenger, instead of Joash repenting and accepting the message from God, what does King Joash do? King Joash conspired and commanded that Zechariah be killed. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 35 refers to Zechariah as the last martyr in the Old Testament. Zechariah was stoned to death while proclaiming the message of God to a backslidden king. God was being merciful to Joash. And Joash fought against God's messenger. You know, I know some people who have walked away from God, and yet still they seem to have a tender heart and plan to eventually get right with God someday. But there are also the individuals who take the rejection of God's voice a step further and they fight against the message of God. They are antagonistic towards God's message and God's messenger. It's hard to believe that Joash, a young boy who started out doing that which was right in the sight of God, would eventually end up being a man who rejected the voice and message of God. He had many things going for him. He was rescued, saved to be the king. He had a godly man in his life, but he chose to walk away from God. He rejected the voice and message of God. Sounds unbelievable, yet the sad reality is that many individuals today in this day started out right, but walked away from God, and that journey is still leading them further and further and further away from God. As you conclude the chapter 24 of 2 Chronicles, the end result of Joash was defeat, disease, and ultimately death. What started out as a good life ended tragically because Joash walked away from his faith. As we bring this truth to a close, you may ask the question, well, Andrew, that's a story in the Old Testament, but does this really happen today? And I would respond, absolutely. Before we conclude, I would ask you to take your Bibles and turn to a passage of Scripture in the New Testament for a moment of consideration. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul wrote to the church concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. And in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." The phrase there, falling away, is translated from one Greek word, which is apostasia. It's where we get the word apostasy. This word means a defection or a desertion from truth. It also means a falling away or a forsaking of truth. Paul here is telling the believers in Thessalonica that before Christ returns, there will be a desertion. There will be a forsaking of the truth. And friend, I'm convinced that this falling away, this forsaking of truth, is labeled in our day as spiritual drift. There is a spiritual drift happening in our world today, in the church world today. It is a falling away. It is the forsaking of truth that we have once been a possessor of. Joash started out right, but he walked away from his faith. I'm asking Sister Dennis to come to the piano and begin playing softly. If you're here this morning and you too have walked away from God, more than likely your reasons are different from Joash's reasons. May not be the same thing that caused Joash to walk away from his faith, but as kindly as I know how to say it this morning, I must tell you that your reasons for walking away from the faith are just as foolish. They are just as tragic. And if your path is not corrected, it will also be just as damning as Joash's was. The reasons for walking away from God are never justifiable, and the results of walking away from God are never deniable. Let me briefly return to my opening illustration of Charles Templeton. In an interview by Lee Strobel, Templeton, who was 83 and suffering from Alzheimer's disease, talked about some of the reasons he left his faith. Strobel said, when asked what he thought of Jesus Christ, Templeton would not acknowledge him as God, but rather he responded, "He was the greatest human being who has ever lived. He was a moral genius. His ethical sense was unique. He was intrinsically the wisest person that I've ever encountered in my life or in my readings." Templeton continued, "He's the most important thing in my life. I know it may sound strange," he said, "but I have to say I adore him. Everything good I know, everything decent I know, everything pure I know, I learned from Jesus. He's the most important human being who has ever existed." And I want you to get Templeton's last words. He said, "And if I may put it this way, I miss him." Templeton started out right. He gave his heart to God, but he struggled with doubt. The issues were not settled in his life, and he walked away from his faith. Strobel then said that Templeton's eyes filled with tears, and he wept freely, and he refused to say more. What a tragedy to walk away from the faith that was once in his possession, and now he's forever lost. Forever lost because he walked away from God. I want us to stand together this morning. Obviously, this morning I want this truth, I want this message to burn in each of our hearts a deeper desire and a fresh commitment to never walk away from God in our faith. you that are here that are Christians and are serving God and doing your best to serve Him, I want this truth to rivet home to you a deeper desire, a fresh commitment to never, ever walk away from God. But I felt God wanted me to open the altar for two groups of people. Two groups of people that may be represented here this morning. First of all, I want to open it for those who are presently walking away from God. You know you're not living where you ought to be living. Your back is toward God. You started years ago. You started by making a fresh commitment. You wanted to serve God. You gave your life to Him. But something came up in your life and you walked away from your faith. If you're here like this, God is faithfully calling your name. God is tapping you on the shoulder this morning. God is calling and calling out your name, begging you to come back. There is hope. The story this morning did not end with hope. But I want you to know, as a preacher of the gospel this morning, there is hope for you. It's time you listen to the voice of God. It's time that you came back to Him. The second group of people for whom I want to open this altar is for those individuals who would publicly admit that there are some unsettled issues in your heart. Maybe children, it may be young people, it may be young couples, it may be middle age, it may be elderly today. I don't know who it is, but I want to open this altar for these who would publicly admit there are some unsettled spiritual issues in your life that must be settled or one day could walk you away from your faith. To you that are here with these unsettled issues, God is calling, God is pleading, God is inviting you to settle these spiritual issues so you can have full and complete victory this morning. I want you to take your hymnal, song number 480. I want us to sing this together. God speaks to your heart as we sing this song. Please come to this altar. This altar is not a place where you need to be afraid of. So many times in churches, the altar is a place to be afraid of. But I want you to know this is where you meet God. There should be no embarrassment about coming to this altar and getting things right. Your whole eternal destiny rests upon it. As we sing it together, you come if God has spoken to your heart. Softly and